PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you one more time as we've got the second round of the 145th Open Championship at Troon well underway. Rainy conditions today, and a lot of the top golfers on the course. Phil Mickelson, the leader after round one, already finished his second round. And Jordan Spieth and some others just getting early into their second round. So we'll give you updates on what's happening at the Open Championship, and we'll be joined by Bob Bupka, our good friend on the TuneIn Radio. He is at Troon as we speak, and he'll be joining us live from Troon to give us a update on exactly what's happening in his backyard as he's there every year. I think Bob's been at the Open Championship for something like 25, 30 straight years, and the weather, as I said, is definitely a factor in today's round. A lot more. Yesterday was ideal at Troon in the first round. Second round, a lot of rain. The rain has subsided right now. A little bit of wind. So we'll say typical Open Championships is what we're expecting here in the second round and maybe even throughout the weekend. And also a little bit later, Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf will be joining us as well. So we've got a great show coming your way to talk about a lot of different things. Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios can't get into today without mentioning and set out our prayers and thoughts once again, as we seem to do every week, with the things and the victims of Nice, France, and a terrorist attack that happened in Nice, France. Two Americans were killed, both with Texas ties. They're from Austin. As a father and son, and actually before that they lived in the Dallas area before they moved to the Austin area. Frank, it just seems like we can't get through a week without kind of making that same statement that we send condolences out to somebody in the world or in this country because of just some more senseless violence that's going on. It's really kind of a sad statement in the world we live in today, isn't it?
It's a statement, all right, and it's more than sad. It's unbelievable and it's unfathomable to me. And if we don't declare war on these people and do something about it, I mean, quit. I won't go into politics, but by golly, it's time to do something. And so anyway, it makes you fearful to go do anything, which is exactly what they want to do. They want to make us afraid. Well, I'm not afraid. I've just downloaded a new ATF form to fill out today. There you go. You want to curb weapon sales? Well, they're not curbing it. What? Maybe they're lobbyists for the gun lobby. Who knows? It's crazy. This is nuts. It's not a gun. It's a truck or a rock or a knife. Right. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like you said earlier, they're asking people in social media to just cause wreak havoc, terror, hurt people, kill people. It's nuts. I'm sorry. I'm on my tangent, but I watched it forever until my wife turned off the television last night. She said, okay, that's enough. We're not going to watch this anymore. And she just clicked it off.
It's very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. And our thoughts are with all of those people. And it happened in France. And France just seems to be just bitten. I mean, it's just happening so much over there. So that's part of the scenery that we come to with that happening in the world. But hopefully we can give you a little bit of a break from that, a little bit of an oasis. By the way, leaderboard, Phil Mickelson shot 2 under today. He is at 10 under now on the leaderboard. And Henrik Stenson, beautiful round today, shoots 6 under. Henrik Stenson goes 6 under in not ideal conditions to be 1 shot back. So Keegan Bradley is at 7 under. He's 3 under on his day, still playing. Kelson is finished now. He is at 7 under as well. He's 3 under on his day. Zach Johnson, 2 under in his round today. So some very good golf being played. And as I said, a lot of the other golfers, the top golfers, Jordan Spieth even starting his round that is just now underway. Jason Day will get started here in about another 30 minutes, and he is a 2 over. So some of the top golfers, Rory McIlroy, 2 under. He'll get started here in a little bit as well, Ricky Fowler. So we've got a lot of golfers still out there. But a lot of those guys, because of Phil, a lot of them, Frank, have to go pretty low today. If you're Day or Spieth or even Rory, you got to be looking at shooting like Stenson and shooting 5, 6 under to kind of get back into this. Because if Phil just keeps trickling along for the last couple of rounds, a few under, they'll never catch up to him. And Phil is looking very good. What about yesterday? He comes within a hair, literally a hair, of making a birdie putt on the 18th hole and shooting the first 62 in the history of major championship history, and it lips out. Your heart had to go sink a little bit when you saw that putt lip out, didn't it?
No, I scared my neighbors. I jumped off the couch and screamed. I just could not believe it. It didn't even lip out. It floated over the hole. It was ridiculous.
There was a ghost,
oh my God,
at Troon that somehow reached his hand up through the bottom of that cup and pushed it out because it was in the heart of the hole, 3 inches from it, and somehow it tilted to the right and didn't drop. And you could see Phil react the way you would expect to because he thought he had the first 62. It would have been very, very historic. Nobody's ever done it. A lot of guys have come close. Nick Price, several years ago, lipped out for a 62 as well at a PGA championship, I believe. Tiger lipped out for a 62 at a PGA. Jack Nicklaus missed a very makeable 2-foot putt at a British Open a long, long time ago. He would have shot 62. A lot of guys have had chances at it, but nobody's ever done it. And here again.
Nine of them, yeah.
Yeah, Phil came that close, but he still has the lead. By the way, before we take a break and get to Bob Bubka, kind of very cool thing going on if you haven't heard about this, but Jordan Spieth has got a house in Troon for the tournament, and it's turned into like a frat house. You know who's staying with him in his house? He's got Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Jimmy Walker, Jason Duffner, and Zach Johnson. All those guys, and that goes from 22 to 40. Zach Johnson's 40. Kind of could be their dad, I guess. They're all staying in one house, and apparently had a couple of days ago makeshift baseball game that they played in the backyard. The locals didn't know what the heck these guys were doing playing baseball in the backyard, and they brought a chef so that they can all have American food and Tex-Mex and whatever they wanted because the food. Nothing against Scotland, but it wasn't exactly what they were wanting it to be. So they brought their own chef. But that's kind of cool, isn't it, that they're all sharing a house.
Great. Thanks, Tim. We were just about to get a great advertiser, two restaurants, and never mind. So.
Really? Yeah.
You
two
blew
great
that
Scottish,
one. Yeah.
Two great Scottish restaurants, of course we were.
Haggis on the run and haggis for us.
Yeah, haggis and eggs and haggis soup and then haggis sandwiches, fried haggis. Yeah, that was going to be the menu. So anyway, so these guys are having a good time even while they're trying to win a major championship. There's a lot of good fun going on. And also, and I'm going to talk to Bob Bubka about this and Steve Johnson, there's been a lot of talk, Frank, because the photographers and the media that follow the European tour and more of the European media, they click and shoot photos oftentimes during a guy's swing, and that's kind of what they expect. The Americans aren't crazy about that. And, oh, what a shock, Michael Greller, who I had a confrontation with, or at least a few words with, the caddy for Jordan Spieth, had to continually tell people not to do this, not to do that. And I'm going to get my soapbox about that. At some point, we got to stop ripping on the fans who pay good money to come to golf events and expect them to sit there like it's church. They want to do what they want to do. It doesn't mean that they have to have blaring music, but the players need to get used to some noise. And the thing is, they only get offended or bothered in the caddies by noise that they can control. If a train goes by, you got to play through it. If a plane's overhead, if something's going on, you can't do anything about it, then traffic in a highway nearby, okay, then you got. It's when there's something they can control. They got to look at it all the same and just say there's noise. There's going to be noise. You got 10,000 people standing around here. Don't expect every one of them to not burp and shuffle their feet and do something about it. It's just the way it is. They got to get a grip on this. And they, by the way, one of the caddies was telling somebody to stop clicking their pen. A reporter was clicking his pen 30 yards away, and the guy stopped and said, stop clicking your pen. Like, come on.
Well, we'll send that caddy out on the railroad track and have him stop the next train that comes by. There you go.
Whatever. I mean,
we're on our soapbox here, but there's somebody on the line with us right now that knows more about it than we do. Yeah, do it.
Bob Bubka with TuneIn Radio is coming to us live now from Troon. Bob, how are you doing? How's life over across the big pond?
Well, if I was any better, Tim, I'd be you.
We wouldn't want that, would we? Give us a little bit of an idea of the conditions. The rain certainly has come in. Doesn't look like the wind, from what I can tell on TV. The wind is a big factor, but certainly early the guys were playing. It looks like it's let up a little bit, but had to play through quite a bit of rain. Phil Mickelson and the guys out early today, right?
Yeah, well, first off, yesterday we had a glorious Scottish summer that lasted one day. Matter of fact, the night before, I was at a function and a guy came out having really enjoyed himself, and he looked at me and he said, "What kind of country is this?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Because it rains all day and the sun shines all night." So he was a little bit confused. But the conditions right now are brutal. Phil Mickelson actually played through horrific weather. You know, it was rainy, it was windy. He was, you know, soaked to the bone, but still, you know, he's played 36 holes here. He's made 12 birdies and only two bogeys. It's just remarkable, but he only has a one-shot lead. I mean, Henrik Stenson is right there knocking on the door, and former PGA champion Keegan Bradley, Tim, is at 3 under par on his round today. He's playing the 18th hole, and he's at -7. So some newfound form for Keegan Bradley.
Now, are you surprised, as many people seem to be? We all know Phil's history, but recently, certainly not one of the guys a lot of people would consider to be a contender for this championship. Is it surprising to you and other media that are over there covering this that Phil has gotten off to such a wonderful start in the first two rounds?
Well, when you consider what transpired yesterday, a truly remarkable round. It's ironic because, believe it or not, in 1973 at Oakmont, Johnny Miller shot the first 63 in major championship history. I happen to be there. Yesterday was the last 63 so far shot in major golf championship history. So I got a pair of bookends at the moment, and it was really a 62 and a half, if you want to describe it that way, because that putt on 18, from all angles, it certainly looked like it was going to find the bottom of the cup. Somehow went in, popped out. I've never heard a player shoot 63 like Phil did. And afterwards, he said, "Man, I feel like crying," because he knew, you know, especially at 46 years old, to do something that's never, ever been done in major championship history. I mean, he was on the threshold of really doing something special, and he was just denied by a little fluke. I mean, the ball ended up directly behind the cup. But once again, no 62 ever in majors.
So, Bob, I'm curious, and we're talking with Bob Bubko with TuneIn Radio and host of The Grill Room. For the guys that are a little bit further back, and that includes Jordan Spieth, who right now is early in his second round, even par, 10 shots back. Jason Day, two more shots back than that even. He's starting, when he gets going here, he'll be two over for after his first round. I don't want to say it's over before it's over, but to be that far back after a couple of rounds, unless they really put on a couple of spectacular rounds here, a couple of the golfers a lot of people are looking at, Spieth and Day, and even Rory. Rory finds himself 8 shots back before he gets started. Are these guys not out of it, but going to have a huge uphill battle, won't they?
Well, they will, Tim, but the obviously, the answer is that Phil Mickelson continues to forge ahead. It gets harder and harder for anybody trailing. But if Phil Mickelson comes back a little bit, then this becomes a wide-open affair. I mean, Sergio Garcia playing his last hole as we speak. He's only 5 shots out of the lead. And 5 shots around, you know, this golf course is just so easy to make up. I mean, there's trouble lurking on every hole. Every hole looks so easy. And then all of a sudden, when you go to play it, you know, it's not so easy. You know, Royal Troon is a very, very special golf course. And there's another golf course, and this is a funny story, about 3 miles from here is where the first shot ever in an open championship was struck. And that was back in 1860 by Tom Morris. It's right next to our hotel. So I went to the first tee, and there's a nice monument there honoring the first shot struck in 1860, first hole. And I'd love you to take a guess how how long that hole was back in 1860 when Tom Morris went to play it. Actually, I'm referring to old Tom Morris, not Tom Morris, because we have a young Tom Morris, but old Tom Morris playing the first hole in 1860. Give me a guess how long you think that hole was.
And I'm guessing it's a par four, if that was even the rule. They're all the same kind of pars we have now. I'm going to say 210 yards.
Well, actually, it was 578 yards.
Whoa, really?
I know. I couldn't believe it. I looked at it three times. I've even taken a picture of it to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. 578 yards. And recently, we've been hearing so much discussion about they're making golf courses too long. They have to be shorter. And I said, wait a minute. What's going on here? And here's the other funny thing. Talking to a couple of guys from Australia, real golf nuts, and they got to play Prestwick yesterday. I remember they played an open championship there in 1860. And I said to the two guys, what'd you think of Prestwick? They said, well, it's a pretty interesting golf course. I don't know why they built it next to the airport, though.
that's a Frank Bassett comment right there, if I've ever heard one. Hey, by the way, Bob, I got to ask you, we were talking earlier that Jordan Spieth and a lot of guys are sharing a house. They brought a chef that they can have their own cuisine and food that they're accustomed to. Scotland, not necessarily known for fine cuisine. Are you enjoying, aside from the golf course, are you enjoying your time there? Are you finding a few good meals, a couple of good restaurants?
Well, we happen to be staying in a very fine hotel called the Parkstone, which is in Prestwick, and it's right adjacent to the Prestwick Golf Course. And I'll tell you how fine a hotel it really is. In 1958, the Queen of England had a luncheon held there, and it seems like the food's the same quality now because it's absolutely marvelous. I know a lot of people come to Scotland, they complain about the food. We have no complaints whatsoever with that food. There's an interesting business also around the corner from where we're staying. Never have really seen anything like this one. It's a big building, and the advertisements on front of it say funeral home, complete services, and then it says also available beds for short-term rest.
The short-term rest turns into a longer-term rest, and they got another customer for the funeral home. Wow.
They multitask over here, that's for sure. But for all of the listeners, and really getting serious for a minute, for all the listeners of Golf Talk America that love this great game and listen to Golf Talk America, if you've never been to Scotland, do it. Put it on your list. Do whatever you have to do. Get a couple of guys. Get a couple of couples. It is fantastic. There's great golf course after great golf course. The weather, you know, I like it when it's like today. I didn't even like it yesterday. Bright and sunny and temperature near 70 degrees. Today it's, you know, it may get around 60 with the wind howling and the rain coming down. It really feels like it's an open championship. And kudos once again to Phil Mickelson, the way he's playing at 46 years old, simply remarkable.
Yeah, and Bob, so my final question to you before we let you go and get back into the beautiful rain and wind that you love there at Troon. Can Phil hold on? If you had to make a prediction right now, he certainly has age with experience on his side, and that adds one thing. The age also could come into play as far as endurance and being able to withstand a lot of these young guys coming after him. What would be your prediction right now as far as Phil being able to hang on to this for the next couple of days?
Well, you bring up a good point there. You know, this was a very exhausting round today. Phil opted not even to come in the media room after his round. He wanted to get into a hot shower, some fresh clothes, and get some rest. But, you know, it'll be 24 hours before he tees off, so he'll be ready to go. If I had to guess, I'd say he probably will not hold on, only because there's so many talented players lurking right behind him. And, hey, if he can do it, boy, more power to him. He certainly would be a popular winner over here. Since Tom Watson, I think the player they like the most is Phil Mickelson. So nobody would be disappointed if Lefty gets his second Open championship.
Well, it's certainly going to make for a great weekend of people in this country getting up early, breakfast at Troon, we'll call it, and it sure sets up for a very, very exciting weekend for the final two rounds and see what happens and if Phil can indeed hold on. Bob, thanks so much for being with us. We know you got a lot of things going on over there, and we really appreciate you taking some time and jumping on the phone with us and talking to us. Thanks for the updates and the insight into what it's like right there to get the feel of Troon, and hopefully we can have you on the show again next week, and we can wrap this whole thing up and you can tell us your thoughts on how it all finishes and see if Phil does hang on. So we appreciate your time, Bob.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, Tim. And no, tell Frank Bassett I did not cover that 1860 Open Championship. No, I did not. Take care, guys.
All right, Bob. We appreciate it. Now, let's be honest. Come on, that's kind of rude. Bob didn't start following the Open Championship until the 1880s. So we know that. I mean, come on. We got to be honest about it. Let's take a break here. Bottom of the hour. And again, Phil Mickelson with a one-shot lead over Henrik Stenson early in the second round. They're both finished with their second rounds. 10-under for Mickelson, 9-under for Stenson, and a lot of golfers still out on the golf course. Some of them, Jason Day in particular, just teeing off right now. So a lot of things could be changing throughout the day here in the second round. When we come back, Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf will be joining us. So stay right where you are. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we're, of course, talking about round number two of the 145th Open Championship at Royal Troon in Troon, Scotland. Just finished talking with Bob Bupka, who is there covering the event for his show on TuneIn Radio. And join us now is our good friend Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, who sits in for Hank oftentimes on Hank's radio show on Sirius XM, as well as being one of the top teaching instructors in the world of golf. Stevie Ray J, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim.
Were you heartbroken at all with Mickelson's near miss at 62 yesterday, the way that it seriously should have been in the hole? As a lot of people are saying, it was a 62 and a half. Did it kind of break your heart to see him come that close and lip it out?
It's the way he missed it, Tim. It reminds me so much of that putt for 59 at Phoenix a few years ago.
Right.
The thing was right in the middle of the hole, and it just catches the lip and doesn't go. I mean, you know what, though? At the end of the day, Phil Mickelson's had a lot more of them go in than lip out, so I don't feel too sorry for him.
And what about him as in a hole playing the way he's playing? He has a lead. He's at 10-under, has a one-shot lead as it stands right now. Again, a lot of golfers still out on the golf course here in the second round. But to be 10-under at this point, I don't think there are too many people, including Phil himself, that would have predicted that.
No, you know, and a few years ago, Tim, we were talking about that this was a tournament that that Phil would have no chance winning. You know, I mean, with the style of game that he has and not hitting a lot of fairways. But you know what? I mean, I tell you what, he looks like he can get it done. I'm predicting him.
Who did you predict before? Were you Dustin Johnson that we talked before the tournament began? You changed like
no.
You changed your socks.
I went farther down the list. In fact, I got a text from Hank. He says, Jim Furyk, ? That's who I picked.
Oh. Yeah,
I picked him. I thought he's been playing well. He likes difficult golf courses. He was one of the very few guys that said he wished that Oakmont at the U.S. Open would have been a lot tougher because there would have been more separation. So I thought this was kind of the scenario that played in to Jim's game, but evidently not. He was 3-over yesterday, so I'm hoping for big things from him today.
Perfect weather yesterday as far as Scotland goes for the first round, and today becomes more typical with some more wind, and it's gusting a little bit also with the rain that is coming down, and it's lightened up a little bit, but certainly the weather conditions are difficult for that kind of play and the wind that these guys have to play. Low trajectory And I thought that would probably play into a Jason Day has good power, so that, that even into the wind, he'd still have the distance and everything. And yesterday, in his first round, shoots two over. He's just starting in his second round. Who does it favor, these wind conditions? If you had to pick some of the guys that are playing, at least in the top 20 or 30 guys right now, who do you think the weather favors with the way they strike the ball?
Well, you got to think it favors the guy over there the most. You know, I mean, you got to look at the European Tour players. And, you know, Soren Kjelstad, he's working his way up the leaderboard. We're not used to playing that. Although, you know, this year on the PGA Tour, Tim, I mean, there's been a lot of bad weather, but the weather's been mostly delays. It hasn't been weather that the guys have gotten a chance to play in. They've been, I can remember just a few weeks ago at the U.S. Open, I mean, they kept pulling them off and on the golf course. They couldn't play because of the thunderstorms. When I was driving to work this morning, I heard Dennis Paulson making the call, and he said the rain was coming down sideways. So, yeah. I mean, you think it's got to favor the guys that are creative players that can control the trajectory and spin on their ball. And let me give you some stats here, Tim. I know how you love stats.
I love them. I love them.
The player that's number four in putting on the PGA Tour, tee to green, he's number 16. Around the green, his approach shot's 14. And off the tee, he's ranked number 85 on the tour, and that's Phil Mickelson. So, you know, for many, many weeks, he was the lowest scoring average on the PGA Tour. He averages a bunch of birdies. He averages over four birdies around. And actually now he's number five on the scoring average on the PGA Tours. I mean, he is playing great, hasn't won in 3 years. I mean, do you think he can get it done?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see. We were just talking with Bob Bupka. Will his age be a factor? Bob said that when Phil finished playing, he didn't come to the media center. He wanted to go rest, take a shower. You know, when a guy's mid-late 40s, it's just a different fatigue factor than these young guys that are 22, 25, 28. So we'll see if the weekend will kind of catch up to him. It makes me think of how well some of the guys in the Champions Tour have played recently, Bernhard Langer at the Masters, and then they kind of fade over the weekend, and same thing. So we'll see. We'll see if the age becomes, and certainly the age is also an experience that's a plus for a guy like Phil, who can deal with a couple of bogeys or something that hasn't really gone his way and not panic about it, because he's been through these kind of situations so many times. So we'll see. It will be a great story for a lot of people to watch Phil kind of out of nowhere and very unexpected do so well. We'll see how he goes over the weekend. We're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. Another golfer that I think of note, and by the way, Jordan Spieth just bogeyed his first hole, so now he's falling even further back. He's at 1-0. So he's 11 shots behind Mickelson. Let's stick with that theme. What do you think about Jordan's game? Just never really, all season long, really hasn't had his big game. Even when he's won, certainly he looked very good early on in January. But since then, in Hawaii winning, even when he won at Colonial, the Dean and DeLuca seemed to struggle and pulled it out really with some great play in the last five holes of that tournament. Otherwise, that might not have even happened for him. Maybe he set the bar too high last year or something, Steve. He just doesn't seem to really have his A game. It's more like a B, a B-plus game, but not as good as we've seen Spieth play.
Yeah, and in his interview, Tim, he did talk about, you know, him struggling off the tee and his ball striking. And that's one of the things that the listeners, you know, really don't get a feel for. When Tiger Woods made any change in his swing, he talked about a two-year learning curve. Obviously, Jordan Spieth at a point in his career, although he was at the top of the heap last year, he's trying to get better. And when you change something in your full swing, it affects everything. It's not like you can change one thing and everything's all right. It may set his swing mistakes and compensations out of balance. And what I mean by that is when you change one thing, it changes a lot. And so you've got to get comfortable with that. And off the first hole today, he hit iron off the first hole, which a lot of guys are doing to avoid the bunkers. He snap-hooked that thing and actually got a very fortunate drop into the first cut because of some obstruction. And then, you know, puts his next shot, big hook, into the bunker. And he's just very tough to get up and down from those bunkers because they're so deep, Tim, just to try to keep the sand in those bunkers with the wind over there. So, I mean, I think Jordan Spieth has his work cut out for him today, because the conditions are changing, and they say the wind is picking up. It's starting what they say is freshening. But and I got to tell you, I'm listening on Sirius XM, and the crew is awesome. We got Doug Bell and Bill Rosinski on the golf course. Dennis Paulson and Bob Wyszewski is in the booth. And that's one of the things I thought, you know what? We had the U.S. Open, and we had Luke Elvey, and we had a bunch, Maureen Medill, all the foreigners commentating. Now we go over to Europe, we go to Scotland, and now we have all Americans. Now what's up with that?
I don't know. They don't ask me which announcers to send, but yeah, maybe everybody likes the different accent than the land that they're playing on. It's a good question. We're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Kenny Golf. By the way, Jason Day follows Jordan Spieth. He bogeys the first hole as well, so he's now 3 over par. So is it too early? I mean, if you're a Spieth Day person and two of the top 3-4 golfers in the world, Steve, are you kind of thinking these guys are out of it already?
Well, I mean, they just got to try to get to the weekend because anything can happen, you know. In a tournament like that, Tim, it goes both ways. The guys that don't have anything to lose and catch fire a little bit can catch up a bunch, and then the guys that are up toward the top are backing up a little bit. But, you know, the conditions they're playing in are the toughest. They tee off last. The weather conditions could be the worst. I mean, if you could tee off in the morning, you could get close to the lead, tee off in the morning, and have some favorable conditions, not just with the wind, but with the green condition, you can make up some ground. I mean, I think right now, both Jason Day and Jordan Spieth are thinking, okay, what do I got to do just to get to the weekend? And if I can get to the weekend, I can start working my way up the leaderboard. What does the cut look like it's going to be right now? Does it look like it's going to be at 1 over?
Yeah, they're saying 1 over right now, but yeah, depending on how things happen, but right now 1 over, so both Day and Spieth early on in their second round, but certainly in danger of going further south and not making the cut even. So we'll see how that plays out. Just surprising. You'd think one of the two would certainly, and Rory is still, as far as I can, latest I see, Rory at 2 under, what's the time now, has not yet, just about ready to tee off. So we'll see. Bubba Watson also at 1 under, so we'll see how these guys fare. A lot of great golfers that we're talking about here that seriously in at least concerned that they might not even make the cut, much less win the championship. So, once again, it's a major championship. You never really know exactly what's going to happen. So, Steve, you work with a lot of different players, and a lot of what you work with is between the ears and the psychology of the game and the thought process. I'm kind of curious about the competitiveness of some of the guys of today's era, because we talked earlier with Bob Bupka that Jordan Spieth has a house in Troon, and staying with him is Zach Johnson and Jimmy Walker and Ricky Fowler and Jason Duffer. He did the same thing when he hosted a lot of people at his house in Dallas for both the Colonial and the Byron Nelson. Is it unusual? I mean, did Tiger ever share a house with fellow competitors, or back in the day, Jack or Johnny Miller or any of those guys? Did they share houses with players, or is that kind of a new thing? And how do you feel about that?
You know, it's not a new thing. I can remember when Mark O'Meara would go over to the Open and Tiger would share a house. Now, Tiger would have his, I think, would be there, the, you know, golf teacher. There would be some family and friends there. So, I mean, it's an atmosphere. It's very similar to what I'm talking about on the PGA Tour here in America, where the foreigners bond together very closely because, I mean, that's all they have. You know, they're cordial and they're friendly with the other players, but they really don't feel like they belong here. And so when we go overseas, I mean, I think that is an opportunity for us to get a lot of what the good formula is for the Europeans. In one of the reasons I think they've been kicking our butts in the Ryder Cup is because they do bond together very closely. They eat together. They practice together. They live together, and they travel together. I think that's going to be good for if those guys can make the Ryder Cup, but I think it's going to be good for the United States. The guys get together and they just hang out and they rest and they don't have to entertain anybody. I think it's a very comfortable atmosphere when they go overseas and they're together with their buds.
Well, we'll see if it does anything for any of those guys in the house right now. None of them up at the very top of the leaderboard, but still a lot of golf yet to be played. Steve, we appreciate your time. By the way, I just want to give you an update as we stand right now through eight holes. Your pick, Jim Furyk, one under on his day, but still two over. And again, the cut line as we speak is at one over. So he's a little bit past that. But your man Furyk's going to have to make one heck of a back nine run here. Shoot about a 27 to probably get back into this thing. But it's going to be a great weekend, Steve. Are you getting up early? You got breakfast at Troon at 5 a.m. at the Johnson House?
Well, you know what? I'm Central Time here, so it's about 11:30 when the pregame comes on, 11:30 p.m. I have been watching it, and it's been really fascinating. Not talking about psoriatic arthritis, and one of the things we do know, regardless of your age, when you feel like you're competitive, man, that those guys are champions of the occasion. I think he's going to make history in a different way today. Or this weekend, that he's going to win this event. It's going to be the first time he's won in 3 years. He's going to be the second time he's won a tournament that no one said he could. Everyone said he couldn't win. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right. It should be a lot of fun. Should be interesting, if nothing else. Steve Johnson, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, giving us his insight and thoughts into this thing. Frank, you know what's ironic about all this is that we talked to Steve, who is in Dallas, and we talked to Bob Bubka, who's half a world away. Bubka comes in crystal clear, and we get Steve Johnson breaking out in and out of his signal. You can throw a rock and hit him.
Okay, here it is.
Something about the technology in the world, right?
Yeah. No. News alert to AT&T and Verizon. Okay, here's the deal. We're going to hang one of them up. So one of the two needs to be the Bob Bubka provider so they can be the sponsor on Golf Talk America. There you go. Hey, always just shameless, but I can't help it.
Bob was crystal clear. But anyway, there you have it. And everybody's pretty surprised. So Frank, your crystal ball, get it out, shine it up a little bit there. What are you seeing happening over the final 2 days, Saturday, Sunday? And I guess you can count today. We're Friday. Still a lot of golf to be played with a lot of top golfers still out there. What do you think comes down the pike on Sunday?
Well, I can predict that Jordan Spieth will probably not win this if he continues to play the way he's playing. I don't know what's going on, but he's all over the place. I wouldn't count out Stenson. I would not count out Stenson. He's quiet, and he's sneaky long, and he's a player. I don't know. Steve Johnson said, I hope Phil can hold up. We all are getting older, but, the sentiment would be for Phil to win it, absolutely. But Henrik Stenson may be pulling it off.
And by the way, just so people keep back of their mind, Sergio Garcia finished at 4 under for his second round, so he's still right in the hunt and playing very, very well. Zach Johnson, defending champion, finished 1 under today, so he gets to 5 under, still very, very much in it. Because as we've been talking about, it certainly could happen where Phil has a bad day, and it could happen Saturday or Sunday, and possibly shoot in the mid-70s or even 72, 73. Well, if somebody like Sergio or Zach Johnson or Patrick Reed at that same time shoots 3 or 4 under, there's the 4 or 5 shot swing that we're talking about that certainly could happen. So it's far from being over, but Phil right now, the story of this tournament, still hanging onto the lead with a lot of guys chasing after him, should be very interesting for the rest of the weekend. All right, well, that should wrap things up. We appreciate everybody listening to us. We certainly appreciate Bob Bubka calling in from Royal Troon and giving us a bird's eye update of what's happening over there in the second round of the 145th Open Championship. Also for Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for calling in as well, giving us his update. We appreciate that. For Bobby Raymond and Frank Bassett, I am Tim Matthews. Thanks so much for being with us, and we look forward to talking to you again right here on Golf Talk America.